Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio in real time via ZipWhip landline texting at 540-371-5756 or comment on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Our focus this morning is the Fredericksburg Walk to Cure Diabetes. It's coming up later this month at Dixon Park, and we have several guests here to talk about it this morning. From Mary Washington Healthcare, Lana King is here, along with Olivia Vernon and Shelby Vernon. Good morning to all of you. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having us.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Lana, I'll start off with you. The overall topic of juvenile diabetes. Talk about what that is and how big of an issue it is these days.
Well, type 1 diabetes does account for about 10% of the people with diabetes in general. So 90% have type 2 diabetes. But of that, a majority of those are children. Usually type 1 diabetes is diagnosed before the age of 30. And it's when your pancreas stops making insulin. So you no longer make the insulin, and it needs to be administered, whether it's by an insulin pump or by injections. That's how we take care of type 1 diabetes at the present time, although JDRF is working on many cures for diabetes. So, we do have a large population with type 1 diabetes.
Is there any kind of warning signs that it's coming and that you're developing this or have it?
So symptoms of high blood sugar would be frequent urination, drinking, a thirst, fatigue, sometimes blurred vision can be symptoms of diabetes. So when you have type 1 diabetes or high blood sugars, then going to the doctor, sometimes there's weight loss. And so in type 1, it typically does follow a illness or some stress. And
yeah.
When we see the diagnosis come on.
Lana King with Mary Washington Healthcare. Olivia Vernon here and Shelby Vernon. They're dealing with this. Olivia, I'll start with you. When was Shelby first diagnosed with this?
Shelby was diagnosed with type 1 diabetes. I'm going to get a little teary here because the story is always incredibly emotional. June 11th in 2014. When she was first diagnosed, it kind of comes out of you from left field, and you don't know about type 1 diabetes. So you've heard about diabetes, type 2, everyone knows. So it changes your life completely.
Yeah.
And all those signs that Lana said were there. She had lost a significant amount of weight, and I could say, okay, well, she's going through a growth spurt. I got tall at that age. She's getting tall. She'd gotten super, super thirsty. And I said, well, she's outside a lot. She's really, really active. I can understand this. Being 11, 10 at the time, the hormonal changes that your body go through, maybe that could explain why she was moody and grumpy. And looking at those signs, you know, when we got the diagnosis, I was heartbroken because I felt like I should have known. But you can't know. It's not something
right.
You go to the doctor and they say, oh, well, you maybe have the flu, and they don't give a finger stick to check to see what the blood sugars are or something. And I think that's incredibly important for this kind of diagnosis. If someone's coming in and they're constantly feeling ill, to do that verification.
Yeah, in all these situations, you never think of what turns out to be an oftentimes a big thing. You're always thinking as far as it must be, and it always comes out of kind of out of left field.
This definitely comes out of left field. At the age group where a lot of children are diagnosed, I mean, there's many, many children that are diagnosed at 2 months and 6 months and 8 months and 2 years, and that's heartbreaking. But when they're 11 and there's so many other changes going on in their body,
yeah.
To have that happen to them, you can easily excuse it for something else.
And Lana, I guess you see this all the time.
I certainly do. And I have to say, the teenage population and the tween age population is a very difficult time for diagnosis because you're going through a lot of issues at that time, self-esteem and self-body image and everything else. And to actually be diagnosed with diabetes in that time is a very difficult diagnosis time. If there is any great time, there's no great time, that's for sure.
No.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So Shelby, you're wearing a Team Shelby shirt, so I guess that's the name of your team for the walk. And tell us a little bit about you. How old are you?
I'm 11, and I'm going to be 12 in May. And I've had diabetes. I don't really remember because I don't really care about it. I mean, I do care, but it's just I think it doesn't really make me much different. I just have to check my blood. I mean, I think. Mm-hmm. Normal people should get their blood checked every once in a while, just like I do. And if you go to the doctor and you have symptoms of type 1 diabetes, I think you should get checked. Because there are kids who get very serious liver damage and things like that and die because the doctors don't check.
Yeah. Yeah, no. When you came in today, if I didn't know that you were here to talk, you and your mom were here to talk about this subject, I would never know. If I saw you on the playground, if I saw you with your friends, I would never have any idea that you're dealing with diabetes.
Yeah, type 1 diabetes is a chronic life-threatening illness, and it's an invisible illness. So it is hard to see. A lot of times kids struggle in school because when you have elevated blood sugars or blood sugars that are too low, it really affects how your thought processes are. If your blood sugar is too low, you feel lethargic. And Shelby, I've seen her glaze over in her eyes, and she'll be not really sure that she's not feeling well, and I'll check her blood sugar. And a normal blood sugar is going to be running around 80 for most people, some people a little lower, some people a little higher. But I've caught Shelby at 56 on a blood sugar, and that's almost to the point where you could, fall on the ground. And she still seems to function, but it adversely affects how she communicates and how she processes information. And so that kind of stinks.
Before she'd been diagnosed, do you look back now and see a lot of the signs that go with diabetes that she exhibited much earlier?
It was such a short period of time between onset of symptoms and diagnosis. It was about a 6-month time frame that I started to see the weight loss. And we always have a really, really good diet. And diet isn't everything with type 1 diabetes, but that does help a lot. The fact that she had a good diet and that didn't exacerbate her symptoms as much as it could have. Yeah, all of the symptoms that Lana was talking about, they were all there. When I look back and I see them, I feel heartbroken that I didn't catch them sooner because now I know.
Yeah, but at the time, who could know?
I didn't know. It's such a small percentage of individuals that are diagnosed with type 1 diabetes that it's not something that's out in mainstream.
Well, and I think all of the symptoms can be explained. And even with type 2 diabetes, we tell people it goes undiagnosed for a long time. And type 1, typically, you're going to see that diagnosis fairly quickly because once you stop making the insulin, as it slows, you might start having symptoms. And then when you stop making the symptoms kind of get worse and quit more quickly. But, urinating, drinking, we can explain that. And if I asked a room of people, is there anybody tired? I mean, 95% of them are going to say yes.
Yeah.
And when you're growing, you put that in there. And certainly those are symptoms that are truly explainable. I always said if your left pinky hurt when you got diagnosed with diabetes, it would be a lot better off than if it was the symptoms of urinating, drinking, and fatigue.
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
April 24th at Dixon Park, there is a walk to cure diabetes, and we're going to get into that and how you can get involved and join a team or create your own team and help raise some money. Olivia Vernon here, Shelby Vernon here, and Lana King, and we're talking about the Fredericksburg Walk to Cure Diabetes and specifically type 1 juvenile diabetes. More on Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFE.
Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. You can weigh in on today's Town Talk topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, your host, Ted Shubel.
We're talking about the Fredericksburg Walk to Cure Diabetes, April 24th at Dixon Park in Fredericksburg. Check-in at 11:30. Starts at 1. It's all for raising money for type 1 juvenile diabetes, the Juvenile Diabetes Research Foundation. From Mary Washington Healthcare, Alana King is here, along with Olivia Vernon and her daughter, Shelby Vernon. A few minutes ago, before we took the break, Olivia, there was a beep went off, and if you were listening and you heard in the background, you thought, oh, she forgot to turn her phone off. Well, no, indeed. That was something that just the technology as far as juvenile diabetes, type 1 juvenile diabetes goes. You've been just describing me just some fascinating things. Talk about what that beep was.
That beep that you heard, I like to call it the Shelby Alert System. It did come through my phone. I'm going to have to backtrack a little bit to where the technology starts. Every week, Shelby has to insert into her arm a sensor. And we use the Dexcom system, which we really, really like. So into her arm, she inserts this sensor. And what the sensor does is it reads the blood sugar through the fluid underneath her skin rather than a finger stick. So with this sensor, she has something that's called a receiver. So the receiver gets the information from the sensor under her arm, and that will tell us what her current blood sugar is. Now, this isn't perfect technology. This is amazing technology. But we still have to rely on doing a finger stick blood sugar to verify her blood sugar levels.
So she still does that.
She still does that multiple times a day. The beautiful thing about this system is it gives us not just a photo snapshot, if you will, of 4 or 5 times a day of what her blood sugar is. We get a constant graph reading, and it'll tell us what the trends could be, whether she's going up or going down and what her numbers might be. That data I can rely on to be able to help Shelby on basically her pancreas. And so I can fill in as her pancreas and give her the insulin that she may need, or treat her a low blood sugar with actual sugar. So I would give her some candy, some Smarties, based on that. So with the receiver, it sends information up into the cloud, and then I can log into the cloud with my phone. And then on my phone, no matter where I am, as long as Shelby has her receiver with her and her phone, I will be able to get real live data and live feeds. And so I can see what her numbers are doing while she's at school, while she's asleep, while I'm asleep. This goes off quite frequently if she's having a high blood sugar or a low blood sugar episode. So there'll be nights, huh, Shelby, where you and I will be awake and I'll be squeezing fruit snacks in your mouth and juice because she's, you know, having a low blood sugar.
Yeah.
And without this technology, I would not have the ability to keep my eye on what she's doing and keep her within the safe ranges. And JDRF is one of the primary reasons for all of this amazing technology. Prior to 1970, when JDRF was founded, grassroots effort by parents coming together to have a better life for their children, we didn't have technologies like we have now and the ability to do it on the run finger stick and things like that.
But and you think about you talk about research and where that's going. Here's some actual something that's really come about because of some of this research and funding and things.
100%.
Yeah, 100%. I'm looking back, and I guess I've been in diabetes for about 22 years now, and the first pump was as big as a child's backpack.
Yeah,
and it was put on it. You wore it on your back. Now. The pump fits in your pocket, and we also can use the technology of the phones being able to communicate and give people information when they're not standing next to their child, which has always been a fear. Sending a kindergartner to school the first year, and I have children that are getting ready to go into kindergarten, and the parents are concerned and saying, you know, how am I going to know? And now, away from home, a parent can see that what's happening. And I think it's just thanks to JDRF and to put the money towards research. Right now, this alerts her, the mother or the child, that there's a problem. Then they check a blood sugar to confirm what they're getting is correct. And you always do a finger stick confirmation. And then the mother or the child will have to make a correction, whether it's to slow a blood basal rate, which is your base of insulin, or whether it's to treat the low blood sugar, whether it's to treat the high blood sugars. There are decision making. Mm-hmm. Well, with JDRF and the research, what's the closed loop system is what we like to call it, is where the blood sugar will be detected, and then the pump will make the adjustments. And that's called a closed loop system, and that's in our research now. I mean, human trials and even trials with children, even children in our area have been involved in those trials. So, you know, we're going to see this again, just watching from a backpack, a pump as big as a backpack, to just having hands off with blood sugar, so to speak, with it fixing itself. So it's incredible to watch this disease come, and we're, you know, to find a cure. Yeah. And, you know, JDRF is shooting for type 1 to type none. That's their motto now, trying to cure type 1 diabetes.
And I'm sure, Lena, for somebody like you that's involved with this, and just for healthcare, this is a lot of information that parents and the patients have to learn. This you still have to know a lot, but this is taking a lot of technology. You're able to do things now with the patients that they don't always have to be just sitting next to you and have it done that way.
Oh, sure. So she could download her pump at her house, and I can pull it up on my computer. And this is new. This is within the last few years. I can pull it up on my computer at home or at work,
yeah,
and see her blood sugars over the last 2 weeks and make adjustments. I'm an educator, so I work with the physicians to make those adjustments. But physicians as well, they can be sent to their clinic and they can make adjustments without having the patient take off from school. And so it's incredible to watch the changes that we get to see, and so promising.
Boy, Olivia, you talked about just the shock of the diagnosis and everything, but then what you pretty quickly have to learn, and you'll learn terms and you'll learn what numbers mean. And I just, beyond trying to process my child has this, talk about stress.
Yes, I kind of like to look at it as you're standing there with your mouth wide open and someone has got the fire hose shoved down your throat and they've got it on full blast and you're trying as hard as you can to breathe when you first get the diagnosis. And there's a humongous learning curve. You know what, I want to backtrack for a second, and I think what we've kind of missed here is what exactly is type 1 diabetes. I want to touch base on that real quick. Type 1 diabetes is an autoimmune disorder. There is nothing that Shelby did or I did to cause it to happen.
Yeah.
There's nothing that at this moment in time that can reverse type 1 diabetes for Shelby and many other hundreds and thousands of children who live with it. What it is, the pancreas has, the body has attacked the pancreas's beta cells, which create insulin. So her body is basically attacking itself. And the insulin is what's required in order to, do so many body functions with the blood glucose specifically, but it's a hormone. And so there's other hormones that come into play with that. Without the insulin, it kind of throws all of the other body systems in out of whack. The insulin, the only way to get it in, you can't ingest it with a pill.
You need insulin in order to to utilize your food that you eat.
Yep.
So without insulin, glucose can't be used. So high blood sugar is because, not always because of what you ate, but it's because of utilizing the glucose that's in your body. And if you don't have insulin, you can't use glucose, which is our fuel that feeds our body. So that's the problem. If you've got glucose, no insulin, you can't use your fuel. And I think that's the biggest...
Right. And that's the difference between type 1 diabetes and type 2 diabetes. Type 1 diabetes, no insulin is being created by the body whatsoever. There's a period of time that they call the honeymoon phase where the pancreas is still kind of kicking out a little bit of insulin.
Yeah.
But once that ends, then a type 1 diabetic becomes 100% dependent on that insulin. Whereas with type 2 diabetes, it's just a little bit more of a processing issue more than a creation of insulin issue.
And with type 2, you either diet and exercise, oral agents, diet, exercise, and insulin. So just because you're on insulin doesn't make you a type 1 diabetic. Mm-hmm. It's actually how much insulin your body actually makes you a type 1 or type 2.
Shelby, when you started seeing doctors and everything, did you start to feel better right away?
Yes, I did start to feel better right away. When I started to feel my best was about a few months after diagnosis, because I forgot a lot of things. Like right now, I don't remember the first about a year before and about a few months after diagnosis. So the only thing I really do remember is my blood sugar levels. They were extremely high.
Yeah.
But once we started getting insulin in me and that, we were okay. Because before, we would have a certain amount of carbs. We had to have a certain amount of insulin. Then we were allowed to flex with the kind of carbs we had. And that was a big change because we had a lot of math to do. But now with the Omnipod insulin pump, it just calculates it for you.
Yeah, that insulin pump is about the size of a cell phone.
But I also have something on my body that you put around, and every 3 days you have to change that. And that is automatic, where you just have to do a pinch up and it goes in, but the Dexcom isn't. It's like a big needle that you have to insert yourself, and it's really scary.
Okay, boy, I bet it is. We are talking about type 1 juvenile diabetes. There's the Fredericksburg Walk to Cure Diabetes is on the 24th at Dixon Park. Shelby Vernon is here along with Olivia Vernon and Lena King from Mary Washington Healthcare. We'll continue it. We will get into how you can get involved with the walk when we come back in Town Talk this morning on News Talk 1230 WFVA. It's 8:31.
I had the radio on. I'm listening to
Talk Done Right. News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting Station. You're listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Got an opinion about today's show? Text the studio now at 540-371-5756. Now, here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Lots of information this morning on type 1 juvenile diabetes. Lena King with Mary Washington Healthcare here along with Shelby Vernon and Olivia Vernon talking about this, just dealing with it day to day. Olivia, before we get away from us, the April 24th at Dixon Park is the fundraiser, the walk, the Fredericksburg Walk to Cure Diabetes, and you're looking for people to get involved. We talk about this great technology, and we still have stuff to talk about, and that doesn't happen unless people get involved and donate to things like this.
Exactly. And anyone who is interested in joining the JDRF walk at Dixon Park, please go to jdrf.org and you can query their Fredericksburg walk, and then a whole list will pop up of the teams that are listed, as well as Team Shelby. Go Team Shelby.
Yay.
And so you can sign up with any team or merely... there's a just donate button. You could just click donate to us. So that's the best way to find it, is just put into a search engine JDRF Fredericksburg Walk, and then you'll find us, and we'd love to have everybody come.
$70,000 is the goal, a little over $70,000, and this area can do that. And just to see all the technology that you have laid out in front of you this morning is just mind-boggling, because like Lana mentioned, I remember people that did have the backpacks and always were, I guess, one of the things that hasn't gone away, we were talking when we were during the break there, just about the number of sticks that Shelby, you still have to do in your finger every day. Great technology, but that part remains.
It's not like when you get this, there's no finger sticks. It's not like when you get the pump, it's like not like you don't do needles anymore. If the pump fails, you have to go back to needles. If it stops giving insulin or if it runs out, you have to change it. It's not like people think I keep it in one place for the rest of my life, but that would cause serious problems.
Yeah.
Like infections, and it would fall off. And this, people think, oh, you have it on, so you don't do any finger sticks, you don't do any needles, it's just normal. But no, you have to finger stick before you eat, if you feel low, if you feel high, going up, going down. It's not like it takes it away, but you can see where you're going and what you're at.
That little device that you're holding, is that just something that you have in your pocket every day?
Yes, I normally have this in my bag that I keep with me next to my desk that my mom has. Oh, never mind.
So that particular bag, that, I guess that's all your diabetes stuff.
Yep, that's all my diabetes stuff there, and then I have my glucagon, which always has to stay with me.
And now what does that do?
This is if your blood sugar goes so low that you pass out, you cannot be woken up. This is just really concentrated sugar water. Really.
Yeah, actually, glucagon's a hormone. Mm-hmm. And what glucagon does is it's injected if you're unconscious or you're unable to eat because of your blood sugar so low. So you inject it in the muscle, and it tells the liver to dump glucose. So it's trying to protect you and get your blood sugar back up.
So is that something that the teachers are taught or told about? I guess you've got school nurses or...
Right. We do trainings here in the schools, and we help the schools with that. And they are trained. And each school in Virginia has a glucagon kit. All the children carry their own mm-hmm. with them. But if there was an emergency, they can use the school's kit as well. So they are taught two people in every school. It's the Virginia state law that two people in every school be taught how to give glucagon, how to inject insulin, and how to care for a child with diabetes.
So, Olivia, if you can't be with her, do you make sure there's somebody who knows how to do that? Because obviously if she's unconscious, she can't do it.
Yeah, go ahead.
I told all my teachers how to do it. And it turns into this little instruction paper.
Okay.
And then Mommy can finish talking because I just said what I wanted to say.
That's okay. Yes, anyone and everyone that Shelby goes with gets a quick crash course.
Yeah.
And I am never without my phone anymore. I basically live with it. It used to be that I would let my phone battery die and it doesn't matter. Now it is literally glued to me every moment of every day. Because that's Shelby's only lifeline to me, because it is, it's so hard to identify and manage the symptoms of type 1 diabetes if you don't know what they are. And so I'm her lifeline, because it's such a balance every day walking on this blood sugar line that everything affects it. And so, yeah, everyone knows. Call mom.
So, Shelby, you've been drinking, I'm assuming that's like lemonade or something. Is that something that has sugar in it this morning?
No, this is unsweetened tea with Splenda, and I'm drinking it because I really have to cough, and I'm trying not to cough.
Okay. So you're not having it because if you're not having it's not something that you're doing to keep your levels up.
This right here that she's sitting with, it's just a veggie pouch, a fruit and veggie pouch, and this is one of her things in case she goes too low. With the Dex, we're able to watch her numbers. And if she starts to go down, we can say, okay, Shelby, let's go ahead and pop a little bit of sugar in you to bring your levels back up again. So this is one of those things that she always has with her in her bag, as well as a couple pieces of candy, you know, to pop in her mouth in case
if
she needs
it. But if it's candy, you want to make sure that it's just glucose, because fat slows the absorption of sugar. So we use glucose tablets or something that can be purchased. They're just like almost like sweet tarts, but they have a measured amount of sugar. So when you're having a low 15 grams of carbohydrates and you wait 15 minutes so your blood sugar gets up, you don't want to over-treat people. You can use Coke, about 4 ounces, but, you know, Coke comes in a 12-ounce can. So sometimes people will over-treat with, and Shelby has a small, like, Halloween size candy. Sometimes people think, oh, the big Skittles, that whole thing of Skittles. No, it's 15 grams. So knowing your treatment and making sure that it's sugar, no fat, so it absorbs real quickly into your system, that's what you're looking for, a quick fix. And then within 30 minutes to an hour, eat a meal or a snack, because the quick fix only lasts about 30 minutes to an hour.
So, Olivia, with Shelby coming in today, did her, just her being anxious or anything, or nervous coming to a new place, did you notice changes in her numbers this morning?
Yeah, what do you think, Shelby?
My blood sugar spiked to around 350, which is pretty high. Like, I wouldn't be in school if my blood sugar is this number. And I'm really nervous, so that makes it spike even more. But I think we've caught it by doing lots of insulin and making sure I don't eat anything.
So has it come down as you've gotten more comfortable here, us talking?
No, it still hasn't come down for some reason.
It's come down a smidgen. We're going to do another finger stick here in a minute, and we'll see what the finger stick has to say. But everything affects the blood sugar. You would think, oh, it's just, you know, we just have to watch what we eat. We can't have too many sweets. Well, no, because you can balance that out with insulin. As long as you have your measurements correctly, like 1 unit of insulin is going to cover 15 carbohydrates. I'm about to eat 15 carbs. Jam, 1 unit of insulin, and I'm good. If that was only as simple as it was.
You don't put insulin in your arm.
Well, if that's all it took. But is it hot out? Is it cold out? What's the weather like?
Do I have loose teeth?
Out? Do you have loose teeth?
Really?
Loose teeth make me spike for some reason.
Loose teeth. Inflammation. Are you stressed? How are the hormones going in the teenage years? Are you happy? Are you sad?
Am I tired?
Are you tired?
Are you sick?
Are you sick? Really, everything changes it. I could write volumes and volumes and volumes of things that I've learned in the last 2 years that has an impact on blood sugar.
And that's what I was just going to say, is what you're talking about in just your level of knowledge, and you've been doing this for 2 years. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's been every day, but I get, you know, you sure have learned a lot.
Yes.
And you got to know a lot.
You have to. You know, this little girl sitting here beside me is one of the most precious gifts that I've been given in my life. And it's an honor to take care of her and act as her pancreas and teach her what she needs to know, because she's not always going to have me. Mom isn't always going to be there. There's going to want to come a point in life where she's going to want to move on her own. And I have to make sure that she's equipped.
Yeah.
And in order to ensure that she's equipped for a long, healthy life, I have to be equipped.
Well, that bag you have, that bag you've got, Shelby, boy, it's, you know, everything that's in it. You know all these little gadgets here and what the numbers mean, and you're well on your way to learning a lot of this.
Yeah, I have about 5 different bags that we've used along the 2 years. I have some of them that I've gotten, but I haven't really used yet because this is my favorite little bag.
Yeah, no, it's perfect to have. Perfect to have all the stuff and just everything. The technology is just amazing. What you're able to do and to know and to be able to control. And before all of this, I guess patients were feeling sick a lot and it just couldn't have been always on top of things like you are now.
Sure. So what would happen is you would take a blood sugar and you would have a number. Let's say it's 100.
Yeah.
Okay. So the blood sugar's 100, and you're trying to decide, am I going up or am I going down? We don't know. We just know it's 100. So you would treat that depending on how you felt. Now, not only do you have 100, but you have arrows saying you're dropping very fast, or you're pretty stable, or you're going up pretty fast. So you have, not only do you have a number now, but you also have information to help you make a more educated decision. So I think that's the beauty. And again, JDRF and their research is what's brought us to this point, mm-hmm. and what's going to take us to the cure. But you can't do that without money.
And that's why the walk April 24th at Dixon Park is so important for, because it might not be something, I mean, this is, I would think that unfortunately type 1 juvenile diabetes is probably like cancer, where you know somebody, there's somebody in your school or somebody in your church or wherever, that there's somebody at the office that's got somebody that's, you know somebody that's dealing with this.
Right. About in the schools, usually in a school of one out of every 300 will have diabetes. And so you think about the school numbers and how many children will actually have type 1 diabetes.
Shelby, how many kids in your school have type 1 diabetes?
4 counting me. There's a kid that I'm mentoring.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then there's 2 other kids, but I'm the only kid in 6th grade. There's no 7th graders, and 8th grade is the one that has most of the type 1 diabetics. So I don't really have much people to talk to that are my age, type 1 diabetes.
Yeah. And you're a battlefield in Spotsylvania. So that's, that shows you that they're out there. April 24th, Dixon Park is when this takes place, the Fredericksburg Walk to Cure Diabetes. It's to raise money for the Juvenile Diabetes Research Foundation. And boy, you guys are great poster people for just for what donating money does, because without it, I mean, I'm sure there still is a lot of worry, but you sure have a grasp of what's going on with Shelby.
Yes, there still is a lot of worry because things can happen so quickly and turn on a dime. Just when you think you've got everything right and you know what you're going to do for pizza today, and so we're going to bolus, we're going to give ourselves this much insulin because we're eating this many carbs, and then you do the same thing tomorrow and the result is completely different. I wish that there was a good roadmap that you could lay out and say, this is what we need to do, and if we do all these things just right, everything will work out perfect. But unfortunately, we have to forge a new road every single day when we wake up. Yeah. And every minute and every hour of the day, it's the thing that's uppermost on our mind is, okay, how are we going to walk down this road today?
Yeah, you know? I think that's a great point, too, because everyone, you know, it's not like making a cake. You give somebody a recipe and we can all make the same cake. With a person, there's not one person out there that's just like you. So there are more than one right way to take care of diabetes. And that's the thing, that it's so individualized. That's why education, working with your physicians, following up, and working together as a team. This is what you see today, is the mother and daughter are a team trying to solve this. And I think that is the key, is working as a family or a team unit in order to find out things and to share. This is what happened. You learn each day from what you've been through that day, so that the next experience you might be able to use the same treatment.
JDRF.org. Look for Fredericksburg Walk. That'll get you all the information about the Fredericksburg Walk to Cure Diabetes. April 24th at Dixon Park in Fredericksburg. Olivia Vernon, Shelby Vernon, and Lana King here. We'll wrap this up when we come back in Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. You can weigh in on today's Town Talk topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, your host, Ted Shoup.
We're focusing in on the Fredericksburg Walk to Cure Diabetes. It's April 24th at Dixon Park, JDRF.org. and look for Fredericksburg Walk. $70,000 the goal, and the money that raised helps really fund a lot of the things we've been talking about, just even as far as technology goes. One of our Shelby Vernon here, along with Olivia Vernon and Lana King from Mary Washington Healthcare. Shelby is a student at Battlefield Middle in Spotsylvania. Shelby, you just mentioned a second ago about a mentorship program that you're involved in. What is that?
Well, most kids are diagnosed and think, I'll never have friends with type 1 diabetes. I've never even heard of this.
Yeah.
But there's plenty of people that want to reach out and teach you about diabetes and help you and, you know, help you through this. Because in the beginning, I wanted a mentor, but, I mean, we couldn't find a mentor for me because it was just hard. But mm-hmm. Now that I'm a mentor, I can go and reach out to kids who don't understand or need help with this or need a friend. Because for a while, I just wanted a friend that knew about it, that had it, and that would understand. So the mentorship program, what you do is you get training and you go to a JDRF representative and you talk about it, and then you get a little certificate when you're done. And right now I am training mentoring a kid named
You can't say his name.
Can't say his name? Okay. Mm-mm. Well, I am mentoring someone, and I feel like if there weren't mentors I would have been pretty alone, because I feel like with this, I get to meet more people with type 1 diabetes. I feel like not only are they getting friends with type 1 diabetes, but I'm getting new friends with type 1 diabetes. And there's also an adult mentorship program where the parents mentor other type 1 diabetic parents.
Mm-hmm. You know, I'm part of the JDRF mentorship program, and so I mentor quite a few parents, actually.
Right. And then for the children, we also have a diabetes camp this summer. That's sponsored by Lions Club of Fredericksburg and the Aquia Lions Club, as well as Mary Washington Healthcare. But we have children in our area who might be the only one in their school or only one in their grade. And so by having a camp for children with diabetes, we're able to have children together. And being around, it's normal to count your carbs at lunch because everybody else in the room is doing it. It's normal to check your blood sugar because everyone else is doing it. So we're able to offer that this summer. It's our 10th year, June 20th through the 23rd. And it's at Fredericksburg Baptist Church. And in order to get information, you can call our diabetes program here in Fredericksburg, 540-741-2210. We can email you an application.
540-741-2210 for that camp, June 20th through the 23rd. Bags of Hope, what is that?
The Bags of Hope, we received one when we were diagnosed. It's a very, very wonderful program. The Bag of Hope you get usually within a few weeks after diagnosis from the hospital. You speak to your diabetes educator. They will submit a form to JDRF, and with that comes a Bag of Hope that has a Rufus Bear that you can practice your injections on and mm-hmm. a whole bunch of other materials to help with that initial diagnosis, education, and teachings.
Well, we need to do this again. This was I learned so much, and there's a lot out there. Again, for the diabetes camp, 540-741-2210, and the walk, April 24th, Dixon Park. It's jdrf.org, and look for Fredericksburg Walk. Shelby, fantastic to meet you. Thank you for coming in, and we'll have you back and continue to talk about your journey. Olivia, great stuff. Thank you. And Lana King with Mary Washington Healthcare, thanks what you do. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
That is it for Town Talk. See you tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. The Glenn Beck Program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA.